members of the faculty, parents, and friends. On behalf of the senior class of 1962, I wish to welcome each one of you to our class night program. We also wish to extend a special welcome to our parents, without whose help this commencement weekend would not have been possible. We appreciate the sacrifices you have made to send us to a Christian school, and we resolve to live by the principles of this school and of our faith. Due to the fact that I dislike long speeches, especially those of my own, I would like to quote this parody to you. To speak or not to speak, that is the question. Whether 'tis nobler for a class to suffer itself to pass from school, to seek its fortune, yet speak unto its friends no word of welcome, or by resolving, greet them. To pass, to speak, that's all, yet by a speech, we show each friend our heartache and the thousand natural fears a class is heir to. Is that consummation devoutly to be wished? To pass, to speak perchance to be laughed at? Aye, there's the rub, for in that speech, what strange mistakes may come, though we have studied it with patient toil. There's the regret that makes calamity of two long speeches. And who would bear the laughs and smiles of friends? The professor's scorn, his classmates' tears, the teacher's worried looks, the insolence of students, and the spurns from all classes the unworthy takes when he himself might his departure make with a bare nodding. Who would duties bear to moan and sweat under a welcome speech, but that the dread of something afterward, the brightly colored program, from whose task no graduate ever turns, puzzles the will and makes me rather bear the ills I have and leave to others what they know not of. Thus conscience may make speakers of us all. And thus I here make resolution that I will voice here my pale cast of thought, but for enterprises of great pith and moment, wait your regard. Their currents turn this way, and I, in their name, take action. One and all, I bid you welcome. Indeed, with great pleasure that I gaze upon the happy, eager faces of this graduating class. Would that you could retain these jubilant countenances throughout your lives. But alas, it is into a cruel, cold world you are journeying. It is a fast-moving, ultra-modern world full of contact lenses, stereophonic hi-fis, and multitudinous easy payment plans. But pitfalls lurk around every corner. First of all, you will have to make a decision about your vocation. As tragic as it may seem, you will all have to go to work. The question is, working at what? If you prepare yourself to be a butcher or a baker, you'll wish in your innermost soul that you had been a candlestick maker. Or if your path leads toward the law, you yearn for the antiseptic smell of your own doctor's office. So just steel yourselves now to rolling out of bed every morning at 6:30, to your little portion of the world's work. When you've dragged yourself out of bed and downed a cup of hot postum, any job can be faced, even the hard one that you are plugging away at. When you do finally find your first job, you'll probably be hired by some smooth-talking interviewer who will paint glowing pictures of pie in the sky and retirement before you've even put your foot inside the office door. But when work actually starts, you'll find your boss has all the sweet disposition of a wounded barracuda in a turbulent sea and the tact of a wet mop. The pay, after taxes, charity benefits, retirement deductions, and office collections for the weddings that seem to occur every other weekend, leaves you with just enough for Kleenex and coffee. When you do finally pull yourself up from sub-assistant to the next in line for the third vice presidency, the board chairman's brother is sprung from the state penitentiary, joins the firm, and wham! The third vice presidency sinks from sight as though a king-sized hydrogen bomb had exploded immediately over the desk. Some of you will go on with your education and pursue a college career. This is indeed a noble aspiration, but one which may bring many of you down in crushing defeat. The claim of a college diploma is a goal devoutly to be wished, but it may be likened to a yawning abyss. Either you leap safely across or you are impaled by the jagged rocks beneath. Beware, my young friends, or those long social hours and those intelligent conversations will lead you down that primrose path to that ghastly end, straight F's and expulsion by the dean. And then, there are those of you out there who will blissfully and blindly enter that famous state from whose shores no traveler quite returns. Matrimony. Everyone seems to think in terms of marriage today. Togetherness is the watchword of our society. But remember, that romantic partner of your fondest dreams can also have fits of temper and can have a cold in his head. As you gaze into each other's eyes, you see only limpid pools of starlight. But in the future, if you could only discern our miles and miles of wet laundry, dripping faucets, flat tires, stored windows to be put on, and bills upon bills upon bills. It was a wise man who once said, money isn't everything, but when you stop and think, what else is there? The pursuit of money is much more of a struggle than the pursuit of happiness. Building an adequate savings program is probably a more Herculean task than Daniel faced in the lion's den. Just when you think you have a comfortable nest egg amassed, Junior falls on his front 10 teeth, the uninsured part of your car cracks up, or you come down with a case of jungle rot, which, incidentally, is covered by every health and accident insurance policy except yours. And so, in closing, my friends, I would like to leave you with this one thought. Be optimistic. Look at the bright side of life as I have always done. If there's one thing this world cannot stand, it's to have cold water thrown in its face.